This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League, the Champions League, the Europa League, and a little bit of Europa Conference League as well today. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Manchester City jump out to a commanding lead over Bayern Munich at the Etihad. Chelsea fall 2-0 to Real Madrid in Spain, but were they fortunate it wasn't worse? Manchester United squander a 2-0 lead to Sevilla at Old Trafford in the Europa League, and West Ham settle for a 1-1 draw with Gent in Belgium in the Conference League. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
And mostly before we get into the midweek football in Europe, some big special news announced this week. Here is the announcement. The Premier League is heading to the US this summer. Get ready for the first ever Premier League preseason tournament with six Premier League clubs in five East Coast cities. Aston Villa, Brentford, Brighton, Chelsea, Fulham and Newcastle will play in Atlanta, Harrison, New Jersey, Orlando, Philadelphia and Landover, Maryland. The action kicks off on July 22nd and goes through to July 30th. For all those viewers and listeners who want more information, head over to www.premierleague.com/summer-series to learn more, find out all the information about the games, where you can get tickets, where the venues are. And Mr. Musto, we're going to have some work to do in the summer, but what a great tournament it's going to be, the first summer series of Premier League teams over here in the US.
Absolutely, my friend. Absolutely. It should be fun. I think we've seen the Premier League teams tour the US before. This is different. This is different. This is Premier League organized, ran. NBC are going to cover the games in a full manner. And, you know, there's going to be some good games there. You know, Americans want to see, they're not Premier League matches, but they're going to know a lot of the teams and the players. And, you know, towards the end of July is when teams kind of, they ramp it up a little bit. So these are important games for their preparation for the upcoming season.
And I think as well, Musty, talking to some of our bosses today, we're also going to have the opportunity to maybe go to some training, to talk to one or two players, one or two managers. And that's the time sometimes when you're either off camera and you can sit down and we've picked up so much great stuff from, remember talking to Nuno Espirito Santos, we talked to Pep Guardiola, we talked to Jurgen Klopp before the season started.
Yeah.
When you can get into those managers and get a sense of what they're looking for, what they've done in the summer, what their next plans are. So, great opportunity, great chance for us to get a little bit closer to teams in the Premier League. Right, mate, we've got a great Premier League, but we've also got a great European campaign. Let's start with Manchester City 3, Bayern Munich 0 at the Etihad. I'll let you kick off here, mate, because I know we've had a production call today and we've touched on, really, the quality and the excellence of Manchester City against one of the most dangerous teams in the Champions League, a team that many feel could go on and win it.
Well, yeah, that's going to be difficult now for Bayern Munich to go on and win it. But what a game, Rob. What a game. I mean, this was, and we know at this stage of this tournament, it's the best football there is around. It's football at its finest. And, you know, and we love the Premier League and we get some amazing stories and games in that. But I personally, Rob, it's something about playing the best teams from other countries. You don't get to see them. And of course, Man City, Bayern Munich. It was a great game, Rob. Very great intensity, great quality, great tactical kind of interesting parts to it. It was a brilliant, brilliant game of football. Two teams that you know, it was fairly even, by the way, the first half. Both teams had their little bit of spell of possession and looking creative. Then Bayern Munich would come back and do their side of things as well. Just I always like to start, Rob, by just looking at the lineup and what's going through the manager's heads. And you know, we've seen Pep Guardiola in the past, Rob, that maybe overthinks it. overcomplicates it, changes things, and does things like, wow, that's kind of different. There was only one tiny little tweak to what he's been, he's really settled on. And it wasn't, didn't make that much difference, but I thought it was an important change, and I thought it helped. And that was John Stones. Now, we know that John Stones, when City have possession, comfortable possession, he pops into midfield to play alongside Rodri, gives them that foundation.
Yeah,
like double pivot is the word, isn't it? Where they can, they're holding, they're protecting, and then he would drop back into right back. In this game, he didn't. The change was he dropped back immediately deep center. Behind himself to centre back to continue Manuel Akanji in the right back position. And looking at who he's played against, you could see why he did it. John Stones is a in had a brilliant game, by the way, but Manuel Akanji is a better one-on-one defender. So Leroy Sane, of course, City know all about him. Is super
he was a dangerous player, by the way, I thought in the first half.
Yeah, he got him at, you got him at left-back, Rob, and then you got Alphonso Davies. So when Bayern had the side, had the ball, which happened a lot, by the way, City... Yeah. They go into almost like a 4-4-2 then with Akanji at right back and not Stones. I thought it was a this was a smart move. And by the way, Rob, we'll get onto some of the star performers later. But particularly in that first half, I'm writing down ticks after the name of Manuel Akanji many times. He didn't get many headlines afterwards, and maybe the second half others stepped up. But I thought Akanji. What a signing he's been, Rob. And he's one of these four centre-backs of Man City are playing now that I've said for a while now. I like it. I just like that defensive-first mentality in this team. More players on that side of it than we've seen before. But I thought Akanji was good. But that really, Rob, was the only kind of tactical tweak.
Yeah, and I thought as well that Stones, and you're right, in terms of the Akanji against Sané, he's physically better suited to that. I also thought that John Stones, and maybe because of what he's done when he plays in midfield, but also John Stones is a decent footballer. I thought he's passing out the back was sharp, nice shot into midfield. Good. It was interesting, Rob, because, you know, as we're watching the game, we start to write headlines. First thing I thought was, and I said, I wrote down, was serious City tonight. It's like a City team that respect the opposition. And the respect came through, you've talked about the four centre-backs, and I kind of wrote down, you know, obviously it was Akanji, it was Stones, it was Diaz, and it was Ake, who've, you know, Ake and Akanji have probably been the underappreciated stars at that back four in some respect. But then you stick Laporte in there as well. It's four of five, Rob, and you've talked about those centre-backs, which in some way made me think, Pep, you know, we've continually, you know, looked at why Pep hasn't quite been able to get this City team over the line. And you've talked about in the past, he won't defend. He won't have attention to defending. Has he changed, Rob? Has something changed him to understand? If you think of those back four, and I stick Rodri as the pivotal, holdal pivotal, yes, Stones can come in, Gundogan can go there, but I'm talking four with Rodri. You're talking five defensive-based players with one floater. Has he decided that that's the base to allow everything else to happen going forward? Because it's different, Rob. It's a bit different than we've seen from Pep in the past.
Listen, I think it's a little bit different, Rob, but not, you know, I still watch the game, Rob, and I'm thinking, God, this is so open, okay? And I thought, I watched that first half and I thought that both teams, you know, like, in general, like, and we've said it before, and you kind of learn it when you do coaching badges, that teams should remain compact, you know, all times, and try and move up the field together and move backwards together. This was not like that. This was two teams that I thought, Rob, that were really good in midfield, and they got they'd love to get on their front foot and attack, but they expected their defenders to defend as individuals.
Yeah.
They didn't get a ton of protection. Now, we know the Stones, you know, but even so, the wide forwards didn't really come back and help out. So what I saw was Bayern Munich getting asked tons of questions.
Yeah.
They basically, they got stretched too far in the second half. But also in the first half, Man City, I don't think we've seen their defenders, Akanji, Stones, Diaz, all of them stretching, Rob, being stretched by the opponents. And so you had this kind of end-to-end game where, all right, then you go and attack. And both sets of defenders were asked to do that. And in a way that we very rarely get to see Man City defenders asked to defend and get people dribble at them and great movement and great runs in behind. And that's what I enjoyed about it. Bayern Munich had periods of good possession that City don't often face in the Premier League that teams have really good possession because they're not that super technical on the ball. And, you know, the way it second half obviously changed, and Pep talks about he made little subtle changes that fixed a few issues that he felt that his team had. And they went on and really dominated, and Bayern kind of fell apart a little bit and couldn't handle it, you know?
Do you know the phrase of it? Well, first on the defending side in that, in terms of you're right, I heard some of the players talking after Rob, which I was pleased about as well, how important the clean sheet was. I never used to think that was what was important in Pep's teams. You know, if you lose 3-1 or 3, you know, it was outscoring we've talked about was how they were going to win the Champions League. Yeah. Maybe there's another thought. There's a different, like, listen, we're so good, we've got to find a way to get over the line, and maybe this is what it is. It's funny, Rob, because I wrote a phrase down after about 60 minutes of the game. Like, Bayern Munich was starting to tap out. You know, in the UFC teams where eventually a team, somebody grabs you, and is it do they call it the chokehold or something? It's like City eventually put you in the football chokehold.
Yeah.
And I just thought about 60 minutes, Bayern Munich started to tap out. Like, it was just too much. It was too intense. It was coming in waves. It was, you know, Bernardo Silva. It was Jack Grealish. Not only their football, Rob, but I thought their pressing, their closing was really, really good in the top half of the pitch. Mm. You know, the goal threat that we see, Rodri with the beauty, you know, to get them off. And then Bernardo Silva, he brings him into the T-bomb. I mean, Bernardo Silva, I mean, two ticks for him.
Yeah.
And then the great man up front. And I want to go to, you know, Erling Haaland. 45 goals across all competitions. I think that's the most ever by a Premier League player across all competitions already, and he's still got games to go. He gets the third goal, Rob, and I didn't think it was one of those, you know, brilliant Haaland days. I thought he played his part. He assists him one, he scores the other. But is his third goal part of what might also help City to go a bit further? Is that a game City might win 2-0 without him?
Yeah, good question. So. Yeah, that extra goal. And by the way,
it gives it a different feel, doesn't it? 3-0 feels different than a 2-0 win. 2-0 win's great, but 3-0 just gives you like, they've got to score 3 or 4 to win it, and we've got not score at all.
Yeah.
Is his extra little bit of input at the top end of the pitch just that important thing? Now we've got the defending right. If he delivers up front, we should all be things go far.
I think, right, I think that's a great point. And I think between the two parts of the defensive, you know. And by the way, Bayern Munich did have chances. Remember, Musiala had a chance. That he got it was a brilliant block from, I can't remember who blocked it now.
Diaz had a great
block. He spreads himself and makes that block. So between that and it's still not perfect, and it never will be with City because they're so on the front foot. And Erling Haaland's extra goal was giving them that extra buffer. I don't think I've said it before, Rob. And I've said in previous pods, European pods, I feel differently about City this year. Yeah. Well, I definitely feel now that this is their year, Rob. And with Haaland and with this little bit different defensively and this 3-2-4-1, which is, I mean, I don't think they did that in such an obvious way last year. I just think they're so grooved. They're so comfortable. The balance of the team is better in terms of artists and soldiers. We just talked about that. And you've got the guy up front that's going to, even this goal he scored, Rob, with his right foot. Yeah. I just liked his calmness about it. It wasn't easy. It was a nice, calm finish. But I think this year they're going to do it, Rob. I think this year they look to be, I know there's other teams and the Italian sides, you know, still to play out and stuff. And Real Madrid, you know, again, we'll chat about them in a second. Of course, superb. I just feel like this is the most complete City team in this competition that I've seen. And I think that gives them the best chance to win it for all time, really.
Yeah, I'd agree, mate. I thought it was one of the best City performances we've seen in the Champions League for a Pep Guardiola team. Mm-hmm. And that's against one of the best, if not one of the most dangerous opposition. I know people might say not at strength, no Muller and Mane didn't start, whether you know, he should have or he's fit. He hasn't been in brilliant form since the turn of the World Cup. But I thought they were outstanding. And I thought that attention to defending is what's made the difference. The attention to say... we're not going to get beat. You know, we're throwing bodies in. That back four of centre-backs, whose prime incentive is to keep a clean sheet and talk about a clean sheet. The rest of the pitch takes care of itself. And the other thing, Rob, that I think I mentioned this morning is this guy's Pep's management of people, situations. And I don't know if he's got a manual. I don't know if he's got a matrix. I don't know if he's just close work with his data analysis team. But at this time of the season, Rob, I can never remember a team that are just peaking into form. I think it's 5 straight wins in the Premier League, you know, all competitions. It's Jack Grealish right where you want him at the moment. It's John Stones, Akanji, Arkad playing with the confidence now and a belief that they're first team players. It's Laporte waiting to come in and play a part when he has to play a part. It's Bernardo Silva, Rob, who, you know, hasn't been as much of a picture with Mahrez in. He brings him in. I thought he was excellent with his dribbling, with his intensity, with his understanding of the role. It's got to be more than luck, Rob, that this keeps happening at this time of the year, each season for Pep. And sometimes, you know, where we see those like, and Foden, I think, is the only one who's injured just coming back now. But we see, you know, those periods where Kevin De Bruyne is not involved for like 4 or 5 games and we scratch our head and you know, Jack might not be, or Foden might not be, or Mahrez. Is that his bit? I remember when Sir Alex back in the day used to almost say to some of his stars, go and have a weekend off, you know, go and then come back. Is that him just managing things a little early in the season before we all thinking about titles and Champions League and things? Is that just giving people time and not as much intensity?
I think it's a good shout. Yeah, like, so he's getting his, it's almost like his objective, even if there's a few defeats along the way, is to get his team in absolute perfect condition for April and May and the run-in with the big games, because he knows that's when the real games come for City. Mm-hmm. The knockout stage of the Champions League and, of course, a run into the Premier League. And you're right. I mean, every season, and there's times where I get fooled. I get sucked in, like, this isn't going to be their year. Like, they can't go again. They right now, they look like they will beat anybody's put in front of them. Anybody's put in front of them. And, you know, we know that the Premier League title race is going to be brilliant, but my goodness, Arsenal must be like, crikey, like, you know, they play them, don't they, soon? Whether this very busy period for City in the Premier League and the Champions League, whether they, you know, there's a couple of times they take their eye off the ball, a little bit of rotation, different players coming in that might change that.
Can I just ask you on that, before we move on? Because it kind of bypassed me, and I read it somewhere in one of the reports after the game. There's a treble on for Pep, by the way. Champions League, Premier League and FA Cup. I mean, it all comes up now in the next 9 or 10 games. It could all start to unfold. Mm. Is that too much?
I can't say yeah. Why would I say yes with this team and the way that they're playing right now and the depth that they've got? It's incredible the lack of injuries they get, Rob. They always get, like, they might get 1, 2 or 3. They just don't, whether it's rotation, whether they do their a ton of due diligence in terms of signing players that have a good injury. I don't know what it is. The way that they play, maybe because they have so much of the ball, they don't have to strain themselves so much. I don't know. No, it's not too much for them, Rob. But, you know, given what they're doing right now, I mean, it was just a great night for football. Yeah. I'll tell you, actually think about it. You know, it wasn't a great night for them. Upper Meccano. Upper Meccano, centre back. I mean, we rarely see a player like almost collapse in terms of his confidence and his abilities on the field. Yeah. I mean, he got caught for the goal. Mm. He kept giving the ball away. It was tough to watch, actually. Yeah. You know, and he's a player that everybody's raved about over the last couple of seasons, how he's come forward and he's improved and he's a star defending player. My goodness, he had an absolute nightmare, Rob, in that second half.
It was one of them. You could see his teammates kind of patting him and crying, and you know, you're okay.
I know.
It's funny, isn't it? This league and how it plays and the intensity. You know, you play City, you've got to be up for it for the full 90 minutes. And that's that kind of tapping out I talk about, wears you down. It just comes from so many different sources.
I'll tell you what I would say, Rob, you know, just watching the game and stuff, I don't feel that I can comfortably say right now it's over. I can't until the first goal goes in the second leg.
Because I think I've just said, you know, it was like my last line, like, I don't think Pep will allow his team to think this is done.
Yeah, well, And rightly so. And rightly so. They could have scored two goals.
Yeah.
They had a really bad second half. They're going to be at home. You know, we know that these sort of teams can go on little runs where the fans get by and they bang in a couple of goals quickly. Until that first goal goes in, then we're going to know, I think. If City score the first goal, then it is over. If Bayern Munich score the first goal, particularly if it's in the first half, we could have a game on and we could have a brilliant match to watch. But it's just not all over yet. In terms, I think Bayern will fancy.
There seems to be a newfound hunger, Rob, about City that is also impressive. And we talked about because of maybe the defence, because you've got this guy up front scoring goals for fun. Mm. Little mention again, Jack Grealish, Rob, who continues to
look
show his worth now, become a really important part of this Man City team. I remember, was it last season, he talked about how difficult it was playing in Pep's team, coming from the line, coming inside, making the right angles, and always getting the ball. But he looks like he's right on top of his game now. Good decision-making, a little bit more daring and taking more gambles with the ball, more productive in and around the 18-yard box. The kind of Jack we saw at Villa, but with a bit more discipline in his role. At Villa, he could play where he wanted and the rest of the team would adjust itself around him and he'd be the star. In this team, he has to be a lot more controlled, but he's definitely, it might have taken him 2 years to get to level, but he's definitely, Rob, now starting to show. And I think Pep must be delighted in terms of the money they spent, what they're starting to see.
Yeah, I agree with that, mate. And I think it comes in numbers, doesn't it? It comes in production and goals and assists. I think everything else, he's such a good footballer. He's just good on the ball. And he's technically very good. Doesn't give it away very often. You know, he moves well. I like in recent weeks that he's shown a little bit of hunger to get back and sprint back to help defensively, which is a sign of his confidence, sign of him enjoying his football. So that's what you're seeing. And it's great. It's interesting to see where his ceiling's going to be. You know, I did think, is this going to be it? He's going to fail to kick on at this level, but maybe he's showing us now, actually, you know, Pep's with some Pep's words and a little bit of help tactically and stuff, that he's going to produce a lot more for them. And he's having a really good couple of months in the team.
Just before we go, mate, I don't know if you saw the news. There was a buy-in bust-up in the away dressing room. Sadio Mane and Leroy Sané apparently went head-to-head and to the point where Sané's been dropped from the Hoffenheim game on Saturday and due to be fined due to the misconduct. So, I mean, that's another example of really just the frustrations in that buy-in dressing room when, listen, they've eventually got taken apart. They couldn't stand up to what City did and unrest in the dressing room. Not a great sign for Thomas Tuchel before next week, although, listen, he can use that maybe as a bit of a siege mentality. As you say, and if they get the first goal in that atmosphere with that quality of player, you never know.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, mate. Okay, let's move on to another game that we had our eyes all over. Frank Lampard, Chelsea manager, to the end of the season now. Real Madrid 2, Chelsea 0. Goals from Who else? Karim Benzema on 22 minutes, I think it was, and Asensio off the bench scores first time strike with his left foot that kind of goes in between legs, and goalkeeper Kepa can't keep it out on the 74th minute. So Real Madrid have a 2-0 lead going into the second leg. I'll let you start on this one, Rob. What caught your eye?
What caught my eye was Chelsea have all this potential, but they lack structure, Rob. It was a day that really brought home the fact that there's no player at the top of the pitch who can score them goals. He played with Sterling and Felix, the highest players, a little bit but split in their positions. I got the sense every time they attacked, Rob, and got to like 20, 25 yards out, there's nobody to play into. There's no real focal point to their attack. I thought it actually, in the end, became relatively easy for Madrid. I thought that Madrid almost got a bit complacent, and that maybe let Chelsea in. Mason Mount had a good effort that was brilliantly blocked by Rudiger, which would have changed the complexity. But at 2-0 at Stamford Bridge, if Chelsea get the first goal, Rob, a bit like, although Bayern have got three to get against City, which is a bit harder. Listen, things can change, but I didn't see an awful lot there to give me much hope, Rob. As a neutral, not a Chelsea fan, as a neutral, that Chelsea can turn this around. I thought there was a difference in class between the two, and I didn't think Real Madrid played particularly that well.
No, I thought 1-0 down, Cucurella comes on, makes a mistake, then he gets caught ball watching, the ball goes over. Should Chilwell just let him go through, Rob?
I mean, it's easier said than done because it's an instinct, isn't it, to try and get his shot, but you grab him and once he goes down, there's only one conclusion, and then you're up against it with 10 men.
Yeah, Koulibaly went off injured, didn't he? He went off injured, so Cucurella comes on to play left side centre-back. Chilwell is then sent off. The only thing I would say, Robert, 1-0 down, I might have expected Frank Lampard just to shut it down a little bit more. And he went, I mean, they almost benefited from his, pretty positive attitude to try and get a goal. When Mason Mount goes through and almost scores, wow, he almost got their goal. But I would have expected that situation when you're away from home, your first of two legs, there's another game to come. Yeah. You're a man down at Real Madrid. You're losing 1-0. Let's just go, four-four-one or whatever. Just leave one up front and just be a little bit more defense-minded just to try and shut up shop. It ended up being a little bit end-to-end. I thought Real Madrid switched off, Robert, 2-0. Yeah. They switched off a little bit and went a little bit casual.
I thought it almost got a bit easy for them, Robert. Yeah. And that, they didn't really have that tendency, which I think Ancelotti will address. Sometimes, Rob, when they get to the last third now, I can't quite see what they're trying to do. Felix is a dribbler who wants to create and that. Sterling's pacing behind can be a threat if them, but they rarely get him in those positions to threaten. We're then looking for either a bit of midfield, backing something up. You know, how many times are they getting to those hotspot areas where we're cutting back, where we're just, I don't know, there doesn't seem the structure in the attacking third that I thought Frank might bring.
Well, quite honestly, I don't know what Frank's going to bring to this that's different, that's going to get more out of them. We know it was a kind of an odd appointment, but it kind of made sense given the situation that they're in. I thought Sterling and Felix, like you said, Rob, looked like they weren't strikers, and they're not. Yeah. They don't want to be up there together like that. And God, it's so blimmin' awkward watching them. It's such a tough watch, Chelsea, because there's no element of any team chemistry whatsoever. And I know it's not easy, and I know that the last manager maybe switched around a little bit, and now Frank Lampard's just trying to find something. You know, when you look at his midfield, Conte, Enzo, Fernandez and Kovacic, it's a good-looking middle three. You know, you've got two good wing-backs in Chilwell and Reece James. I mean, Reece James, I thought, had a bit of a tougher time.
I mean, Vinicius is a piece of work, mate. He's a piece of work. And I thought Rodrigo on the other side, give him real width and pace in the wide areas. I thought that caused Chelsea a problem. Times the three centre-backs and then the wide players out there are pushing the wing-backs. Just thought they struggled to stand up to that a little bit, the threat from... You know, I was looking, Rob, and I wrote down Madrid front three and Chelsea front two. I mean, it's night and day, isn't it? Mm, mm. It's night and day in terms of what you see, what you want, what the threat is.
Yeah, and Camavinga, Rob, a midfield player that plays slots in at left back, looks $1 million. Looks $1 million. I mean, you know, Reece James, we all know how great he is going forward. Camavinga, you know, was fine. Yeah, and Vinicius Junior. I mean, we say every time we watch Real Madrid play, Rob. I mean, he is so quick, so direct, such a threat. I mean,
Rob. I don't think he gets enough credit. He's a highly intelligent speedster. Most speed people rely on the speed, and they just run past you or, you know, make it a race. He's an intelligent, he stops starts, Rob. He knows when to play inside. His combination play off the front man is good. He finds good pockets of space, like, you know, for the first goal of it to get involved. He's more than just, I think sometimes we just talk about his pace and we don't give him enough credit for his football intelligence.
No, that's right. That's right. I thought Real Madrid, Rob, particularly first half, I'm like, wow, they're super slick. Yeah. They're outclassing Chelsea. You know, I also thought, Rob, just a little detail that we all know how great Real Madrid are going forward. Yeah. When their opponents have decent possession, they're not afraid to really drop off, and play not high press, not really in the middle, but just sit off and sit back behind the ball. Yeah, let you have it. It's not as though they have to feel like they have to have the ball all the time and they want to dominate possession. They are absolutely fine dropping off, which obviously helps them when they win it back in terms of counter-attacking, in terms of allowing players, teams to come on so they can hit them on the counter. So I just like what they're doing. Ancelotti, you know, has got them grooved quite nicely, and that's a good advantage, Rob, isn't it? 2-0 is a good advantage to the bridge.
It does leave the door open, though, Rob, doesn't it? I think Frank said that. No, but the door's ajar. It gives us a chance. I mean, if they get the first goal at Stamford Bridge, and the fans will be up for it. It's a massive day at Stamford Bridge, Real Madrid in town. It, you know, it'll be packed house, great noise. If they can somehow find a way to get the first goal, Rob, they could then affect the psyche and the poise of Real Madrid that you feel is always there. Cruz and Modric and people in the midfield just dominating possession. But is it one of those days where they can get the first and turn it up a bit, make it a little bit more Premier League-esque with the speed and intensity? Is that a way they can come out of it?
I mean, it's got to be the only way,
Frank, isn't it? And that's the dream why, that's the reason he was appointed.
Yeah, no, and that's the only way, isn't it? The only way is for that place to go to get a good early start, get a goal, and somehow try and hold on to that energy for the rest of the game. And that's where I think it falls down, Rob. They might get a goal. They might get a first goal. The fans will be up for it. I just don't fancy Chelsea to be able to maintain that sort of energy to stop Real Madrid not having great periods with the players that they've got. If Chelsea are on the front foot and attacking, Vinny Jr. is going to be like, okay, pop it over the top because I'm going to be off away, sprinting in behind. Benzema is a constant threat, seems to score in every single game I watch him play. So I just don't think, I know what you mean, and I know what the Frank said, and I get that. I just think this Real Madrid team is too experienced, too good, whether dominating the ball or counter-attacking, not to score and to go through. But it'll be an interesting game to watch.
Again, I saw it the weekend, though, Rob. I think it's Chelsea v Brighton. Almost feel like Chelsea need a win to go into this game. A win and a goal or two somewhere just to give people confidence. I think Frank was talking about people are low in confidence and, you know, I've got to try and instill that and manage them. And it's one of those lot easier things to say than it is to do. But you almost feel like a win somewhere, a decent win, a 3-0 win against Brighton would sort of set you up to going into that game. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. Totally, Rob. In fact, my I got my son with us at the moment and he said, it's almost like Chelsea need to go and play a flipping League Two side, batter them 8-9 goals and just to get the players confident of hitting the back of the net. But sorry, everybody at Chelsea, but Brighton are not that team. And that could be a super awkward match to play with the way that Brighton dominate the ball. Is it, where is it at this weekend, Rob? Is it, whereabouts is it?
Good question.
Is it the bridge? Let me get the...
Might be the bridge. Where were they last week?
Yeah, it's at the bridge.
Oh, yeah, home.
So, yeah, they're home against Brighton.
Home against Brighton, then home against Madrid on Tuesday.
That's right, yeah. So Saturday, Tuesday. Yeah, it's the 3 o'clock, so 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern time game here on our coverage. So, yeah, you're right, mate. If they can get a confidence booster and a victory, I just love Brighton at the moment, what they're doing and the way that they're playing under this new guy. So we'll see.
Yeah, you've got to fancy it. It looks more likely a Man City Real Madrid semi-final in this side of the draw. In all honesty, it'd be something special in both those games if it wasn't the case.
Yeah, totally.
Should we just round up the other games in the Champions League? Benfica and Inter Milan were on one side. Inter Milan get the win. Big win on the road for Inter Milan. Romelu Lukaku scoring a penalty. The second goal, I think it was Barella, is it? 51 minutes.
Yeah, he got the first goal. Yeah,
and Lukaku gets the penalty the second, which you would feel gives them good advantage now at home, 2-0 up. To get through that one. And then AC Milan, Napoli, Rob, maybe a bit of a shock when you think how well Napoli have done and how far they are in the league. This was first versus fourth in Serie A. Napoli 74 points, 22 points ahead of AC Milan. But AC Milan get the goal, Bennacer with it just before half-time. Still possibly fancy Napoli at home.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Serie A table, Rob, and how they've dominated it, yeah. I mean, this is different competition. Of course, knockout is different, but I still think so. Just looking back a second, Rob, just rewind a second. Romelu Lukaku said that scored the penalty goal.
Yeah.
He will go back to Chelsea.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
I mean, who knows who's going to be manager? Who knows how that person might feel about Lukaku coming back? I mean, Lukaku's had a disappointing season this year in Italy. He's had a lot of criticism. He's had a lot of stick. He's had unfortunate moments over the last week or so, which have been difficult personal moments for himself. Mm-hmm.
Is it a clean slate when he goes back, Rob, though? Is it a clean slate? Do the Chelsea fans, you know, move on and say what was said was said? He's now a Chelsea player. It's a different football club. It's different managers, different owner. Is it? Are we in a position where he could come back and be that guy? Just doesn't quite feel like it, does he? If things start going wrong, I think it's one of them. He wasn't in the first place, etc.
I think it's time. That's not the way to go. To go back like that, and a guy that has been temperamental, and when he's happy and he's playing well. When it isn't going so well, then problems start a little bit. So I think it's absolutely time, if possible, to move him on permanently somewhere and try and find a different direction.
Ambitious centre forward who can grow with a football club, who wants to be there. They've got to go and do their business in the summer, haven't they? Although we don't know with financial fair play and all those things, what's quite going to happen at Chelsea.
Yeah, they've got to sell a lot of players, Rob, isn't there?
Still a lot of players, aren't they, in the summer? So, it's going to be an interesting time. We'll see if Frank's there as well. He was asked, Rob, about after the season. He said, I can't, my role's till May the 28th and then we'll sit down and whatever. But just don't think that unless they come out flying on Tuesday night and turn over Real Madrid, and then who knows? But
if they win the Champions League, he stays on. If not, then there's no chance. Yeah, there's no chance.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World? Like, hey, we came to play. Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's move it to the Europa League, my friend, because Manchester United were playing Sevilla. Sevilla not in brilliant form. I had a look in La Liga. They're 13th in the league, 12 losses this season, 5 points above the bottom three. So it wasn't a Sevilla team in great form, but we know it's a Sevilla team with great history in this competition. I think six times winning, Rob. Competition and have got done well in Champions League as well when they've got in there. But it didn't quite go to plan for United. Zubica got a couple of goals, two in 21 minutes, which is starting to prove an important player he can play. He played more in the 10, Rob.
Yeah.
Martial.
I know.
With Sancho and Antony either side, which is a bit different because obviously Bruno and Casemiro were sitting as the two in behind them. I think you talked about Bruno's ability to run a game from a deeper position sometimes when he's under less pressure, and again that was the case. But from a 2-0 win, 2-0 lead, 21 minutes up, Rob, in the game, and looking like they could go and get three or four and put it to bed, we end up with a 2-2 draw for Manchester United. Two own goals for United that give Sevilla the goals. An injury to Varane, an injury to Martinez. Obviously, Rashford's out, and maybe not going to be right for next week. Bruno Fernandes got a yellow card that takes him out of the second leg next week.
Which is a joke of a yellow card, by the way.
Yeah,
joke
of a yellow card. I don't know how he's supposed to get out of the way. But all of a sudden, Rob, from what was looking like a pretty easy route into the semi-finals, now looks very, very different.
It's funny, you know, watching Manchester United. And I really enjoy watching Man United right now, Rob, because of the attacking nature of the coach and of the team and the expansive nature.
Yeah.
You know, Sabitzer playing as a number 10 and Bruno playing as a six next to... I mean...
Weird, isn't it?
He does things very differently, but fair play, Rob, because you can't say... You know, like it's like Val Verkor's playing as a number 10 when you got Bruno. It's like, wow, he has some very different sort of takes. And for the most part, it's been good. United are getting better. They play, but they're so attacker minded, Rob, that their games, they're a bit of a flipping that you can't take your eyes off them because there's no sense of change in his philosophy. Unless a team really are great with the ball and force him not to have it, they're going to have the ball. They're going to throw people forward. They're going to play wide. They're going to, you know, there's never a dull moment at Man United right now, Rob. End to end, attacking, expansive. But really, really good to watch. Now I'm sat on my couch watching this game. Second half, I'm like, what's going on in the football world? I'm checking news because I think this game's it's over. Now you talked about the injuries. Now Varane went off at half time, and from half time, they made five. I think all five subs.
They were with 10 men, but at the end of the game,
with obviously injuries. The Lisandro Martinez injury, Rob, okay?
Yeah, it doesn't look
now,
good.
The number one thing that we're installed in us at NBC is to, you're not going to say.
Don't
speculate on injuries because we don't know. And it's absolutely right. We don't know what that injury was. But.
Yeah. What does your football experience and sense? I know what mine is. And I had a similar injury. I've got to tell you, it was a metatarsal.
You think it's...
I did something similar and turned on a ball and cracked my metatarsal. There was nobody near me. And it was the same thing. I couldn't put my foot down. And I ended up having steel pins put in my foot.
I mean,
I'm definitely not going to speculate, but all I'm saying is I had a similar injury and it happened very similar to what happened to Martinez.
No. And I am not speculating in any way, but all I would say is there was a training ground incident that I saw where a player moved quickly, nobody around him with the ball moving forward, and went down like that.
Yeah.
And he had ruptured his Achilles tendon.
Oh, which is one of the worst injuries a footballer can do, whether it was past or current day.
Yeah, so we don't know. We don't know.
No, we should wait for the medical people and all that. But we're just giving a sense of having been in the game and seen those kind of injuries and have known what they are in the past. I think the overriding thing is, Rob, it doesn't look good.
No.
It doesn't look good. It doesn't look like a quick one. It doesn't. And he has been so important to that back line. When Varane hasn't played, if Maguire's come in or Lindelof's come in, they've been with him. And he's been aggressive. He's been... strong defensively, he's got a good spirit about him. I think the quote from Ten Hag after is, it doesn't look great.
It's the amount of games they're playing, Rob, aren't they? With success in the League Cup, and they're still in the FA Cup, and this competition, the Europa League. I mean, it is a lot of games to play, and he's moaned about it, and I get it.
Rashford, hasn't he, last week? A few games again. If Martinez goes down, that's two of his best players, Rob.
Yeah.
But there's still enough quality in Manchester United to go and win in Seville.
Yeah.
There's absolutely enough quality there. I mean, they might have to patch things up a little bit, but they've still got, you know, Eriksen's back in the fold. Martial's back in the team. It's interesting with Martial, though, because I listened to Ten Hag before the game and his press conference ahead of the match talked about Anthony Martial and said, we play our best football when Martial's in the team. I thought it was quite a strong statement. Now, is that man management? Is that giving a bit of confidence and a boost? Is that letting everybody else know out there? Is that opening the door for him? I just thought it was a really interesting, strong statement by the guy when Martial, we all know his talent. We all know, you know, he got a goal at the weekend, but is he going to be productive enough over the course of a season to be your number nine?
Well, I think it's interesting, and it's probably last chance for Anthony Martial, Rob, but we both know that sometimes managers come in and changes. There's so many players that I know that I think leave the club. A new manager comes in, and all of a sudden, the manager loves them. They're in the side. The confidence is higher. They start to score goals. The fans get on the side. The team becomes better. It's a better team, so they're in a better team now. Martial's been in some pretty poor Man United sides over the last few years. So, I think even his body language is better right now. And by the way, he did a brilliant job for the assist for
Sabitzer's
second goal.
Yeah,
really good through ball. That's a bit of, you know, that movement of 9 and 10. I mean, that was good to watch as well. So fair play. You know, you have Martial playing up front. Maybe you put Marcus Rashford coming from the left-hand side, which I prefer. And they can, by the way, they can absolutely rotate. Why not? Why not? Couldn't this be a new lease of life for Anthony Martial that for me would be his last chance? Yeah. You know, he's disappointed for a few seasons now. But again, different manager, better team, different philosophy, more expansive attacking options, probably more involved in the game. Did well tonight. It's a chance for him. With Rashford being out, it's a chance for him.
It's a bit like my underappreciated performer of the week last week, mate, Ollie Watkins, who was on the bench at times with Steven Gerrard.
Players can turn around.
Different setup, different team. All of a sudden, can't stop scoring. I think 12 Premier League goals and six straight on the bounce away from home. So, yeah, maybe it's a last chance for Martial, but we all know the ability's there, the talent's there, the goal threat is there. Can he put it all together and sustain
Rob, it? Rob, just before we move on, mate, I just do want to go back to one big picture question. You know, can his game management, I saw like some comments afterwards, I had a quick check around social media, and a lot of United fans were saying, well, I don't know about Erik ten Hag's game management, all those subs, the gung-ho nature. Is it, and we've seen teams before, Rob, that when he's had a bad day, it's a really bad day because he doesn't really change. He's like, I don't care how Man City play or Liverpool or some of these other sides.
He's going to do his thing.
I'm going to just continue doing it. Do you have a problem with that or is that the best way to go?
I don't, because I think eventually when you're going to Manchester United, you have to have that strength of character and belief in what you're doing, Rob. Listen, I'm not saying that it tactically at times, but I think during the course of the season, if you looked over the course of the work from where United started, he's made a lot more good decisions than bad ones. You talked about, you know, players playing in different positions, you know, getting more better form out of players, you know, the Martials, the Wan-Bissakas, Scott McTominay's.
I'm talking more like game management.
I think you either believe in what he's doing, the way he's going to do. I think eventually, Rob, he wants better players doing what he wants to do. I don't think he feels like he's going to change his game management because the quality isn't good enough. I think he's going to continue to try and play the way he does and be quite attacking. And Manchester United fans, when it works, love it because they say that's who Man United are. Maybe going to have to put up with a few days when it's not quite so good. I don't think he's a reining it in. Listen, I think he likes a structure in an organisation. I think his teams have to have a responsibility when they haven't got the ball. But I also think he wants to be front foot and expansive when he can be.
Which is almost all the time, Rob. I'm just quickly finished now. You know, Sir Alex Ferguson, Man United, absolutely knew when to sit back and defend.
Yeah.
We just said it earlier on, Real Madrid, sometimes, it's okay, we're going to sit back and let another ball. Yeah. That doesn't seem to be the case. No. It's just something to keep an eye on. Listen, I think we both agree it's been a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
I love watching Man United now. There's never a dull moment, and it is super open and expansive. I just wonder at certain times in matches, you know, he might be a little bit more careful, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In closing, mate, West Ham were in Belgium at Ghent in the Europa Conference League. They had a goal disallowed to Aguerd with a handball. It was pretty obvious handball when you saw it close up. But then Danny Ings gave them the lead, but they let that lead go. Rob, second half, got a 1-1 draw away from home. Didn't particularly perform that well. I just saw it on the background, kept looking up. Didn't particularly perform that well in the second leg. And I think that was a bit of a missed opportunity. I know they've still got their home game to come and should give them advantage. But, with troubles and still not safe in the Premier League and attention on that as well, I just thought this was a game they could have gone on and maybe got a second goal and maybe make it a little bit easier in the second leg.
Do you think that unless West Ham win the Europa Conference League, that David Moyes is going to go in the summer anyway? Because that's a lot of the word on the street, is they're going to look for a new manager. Mm-hmm. If he wins that competition, I think it continues. Otherwise, I think they will look for somebody different.
I think it feels like he's yesterday's man and they want a bit more of this current and new and a different outlook in the football. But as you say, listen, if he goes and wins the Europa League, he's deserved the chance to continue his work. And you know, that's on the basis that they stay up, Rob. That's the biggest and most important thing for West Ham United. Europa League's great and would be a great trophy for West Ham to celebrate. I'm telling you what, it's nowhere near making sure they stay in the Premier League.
They should be okay. I think 30 points they've got right now. They've had, I think, two wins in the last three. And they did this before. They moved on from managers himself to get. I think it was Pellegrini, I remember. And you know, they wanted a different style of football and they had a big problem. So they've got to be careful if they do decide to go in a different direction.
Listen, mate. Just before we wrap it up, actually. There was some news that came out, actually. The FA have decided to take no further action against Konstantin Hazakis, the linesman, I think it is, who was involved with the Andrew Robertson incident in the game after half-time against Liverpool. Any surprise in that statement and where we are?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised, to be honest, mate. I'm a little surprised. I mean, we don't want to see officials, like, you know, get into trouble retired off or demoted or whatever. I still believe it was out of order. You know, there's talk that Robertson was aggressive. What did he say to him? He would put his hand on his arm. And I looked at it a few more times just this afternoon, and I still think it was over-aggressive from the guy. I think he should have been suspended for a few games and then come back in again. I don't think it was anything worse than that. But to say there's no, cleared of the incident, wow, all right. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm surprised. I think it's the FA, isn't it? The Football Association.
Yeah,
which makes some strange decisions
investigating
at times.
It. Yeah. I don't know when that means he comes back in. I agree with you. I probably overreacted a little bit at the weekend in going a little bit too strong. And, I feel like, listen, we don't want people losing their job. We don't want people being suspended. But I do also feel, Rob, strongly that when you're a position of authority as a referee's assistant or a referee and you possibly inflame a situation like that rather than suppressing it. I just thought that there should be a period of whatever, if it's a miss a couple of games or rested for a few weeks just to make the point and let people know that that's unacceptable and it's not what the football authorities see it as being right. But in their wisdom, they've decided that they don't feel whether, you know, they feel that Robertson instigated things or there was a contact before. We've seen different angles of different things. But I'm with you. I just don't feel like we can say that's okay. Of course, I know there's a lot of attention at the moment on referees being protected and, you know, players not running up and all that stuff. And we get all that and we've been in the game long enough. But I still don't think the action of a referee's assistant sort of throwing your arm towards a player. I mean, that could have kicked off into something very, very different and looked very, very bad.
Yeah. And listen, of course, before people jump on, it's like players' behaviour is pretty bad, isn't it? I mean, players' behaviour on the field, their interaction with the referee and the officials is pretty awful at times. And we appreciate that. And the stick that some of these guys have to take is unacceptable at times.
They need protecting. And even down in the grassroots, I had a referee from the grassroots contact me, Robin, just say, times we need a little bit more help and security. You know, things are happening in grassroots football where, you know, their lives are being put in danger with some things. And so we get all that and we understand that, you know, that the players have to be better.
Yeah,
but just thought that this one was a little light maybe from the FA, but I'm sure they've got their reasons. Right, mate, that's a wrap it up there. We're in a great week of European football. With very different performances in the Champions League for Man City and Chelsea. One looked like they're almost through. One looks like there's plenty of work to do. While in the Europa League, Manchester United messed it up against Sevilla, while West Ham, they were held in Belgium. We're going to be back on Sunday. That's April the 16th. We'll review match week 31. And as we get the countdown now to the Premier League and the last day, we're getting some important fixtures at both ends of the table. So make sure you join us for that one. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe. Stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.